You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
My cup. Pink via deckel muss es die kleine Fahrbein top. Geht mir kein Sach nicht, die Rock.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I'm your host, Judy Gold, and this week we have part two of my interview with Tristan Snell, who just, I mean, brilliant. And if you don't hate Orange Fuckface already, then there's something wrong with you. But you will hate him even more when you hear... He's just the most awful person. But hopefully he'll be getting his due. I just wanted to update you on some dates coming up. May 3rd and 4th, I'm going to be in Rochester, New York, at the Carlson Comedy Club. That's May 3rd and 4th. April 29, big fundraiser in LA for the National Coalition Against Censorship at the Comedy Store. That's going to be a fantastic show. And then I'm going to be going to Israel and Provincetown and other fantastic places. But I just wanted to get the word out for those dates. A lot of great podcasts coming up, rebranding coming up. Everything's in the works coming up. Woo! So that's exciting. And I just, you know, this week, this is being dropped on Passover. So I want to wish all the Jews a Zis and Pesach. And, you know, Passover, by the way, sorry, this fucking thing keeps hitting the microphone. I got to figure out what I'm doing wrong here. But anyway, the story of Passover. For all you non-Jews, all two of you, is a story of freedom. It is about the Hebrews' liberation from slavery and Egypt, slavery from Egypt. And as we know, this year's Passover is going to be a lot different, a lot more meaningful. I think the story is going to resonate on many different levels for many different people on whatever side of the coin they're on. But let us remember that as Jews, we have survived. We have been slaves. We had been kicked out of pretty much every country. And here we are. It's a story of survival and freedom. And it's a story about not, and asking questions. I mean, it is a definitely, you know, there's the four questions, but there's so many questions. You know, I think it's going to be a pretty intense Seder, considering we still have 133 hostages in Gaza. But there's so much symbolism. And so much history and the history of our people and, you know, where this took place should let you know that we are indigenous to the land of Israel and whatever. We have Pharaoh, we have Moses, it's an amazing holiday. The matzah does constipate you, but I have to say, that when I was growing up, you know, I grew up kosher and my mother did everything. And especially Passover changed everything over to Passover dishes and we covered everything and blah, 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 blah. And I got to tell you, the Passover food was horrible. And it is amazing how many decent, I mean, I will probably eat matzah pizza every single night. Because it's my favorite and I make the best matzah brei. I'm just going to do this because I don't feel like bringing it every time, but I do make the best matzo brei. And write to me and tell me what you put in your matzo brei. I like it savory. I don't like it sweet. Some people just put sugar and cinnamon. I mean, it's fine, but you know what I put? I put a little salt. You have to salt it up because it's so bland. And cottage cheese. Oh my God, matzo brei with cottage cheese. So delicious. Beyond. You can puke all you want, but I'm telling you, it is delicious. So I'm looking forward to eating a lot of eggs, a lot of matzah, and trying out some really good recipes. I'm telling you, I'm on the Instagram, and all I do is watch food prep because, I don't know, it helps my ADHD, and I just am obsessed with it. And I love watching cooking videos. And I can't believe the recipes. I cannot believe. My mother used to make these rolls. They were called Passover rolls. They were so dense and horrible. But, you know, they resembled bread, so we would eat it. And just now they, you know, they have so much more stuff and so many different kinds of gluten-free. Well, it's not really gluten, it's yeast. You can't have any yeast. But, yeah, gluten. Isn't gluten yeast? Who the fuck knows? Anyway, I'm just saying there's so much more to choose from. And, you know, potatoes, they make an appearance. But overall, it's a time to be together. We do tell a story, and the story is about freedom and hate. And so it happened how many years ago? And it's still going on. So I wish everyone a very wonderful and joyous Passover, even though, you know, it's a trying time. And I hope that a lot of non-Jews get invited to Passover Seders because they're really fun. And you drink a lot, you know? And that's what it's all about. So I'm wishing you all a very happy Passover. I'm not even going to talk about, I mean, I could talk about the jurors, you know, the Trump shit, but the whole podcast is about him and he's so fucking annoying. So I'm not going to talk about that, but you know, I live right by Columbia University, and I feel like going over there right now with the big flag of Israel, but I'm just too tired. But yeah, a lot going on in the world. A lot of misinformation. So whatever. So here we are. It's Passover. I have a wonderful podcast soon to change its name. And yeah, that's it. I don't know what else to tell you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy part two of my interview with Tristan Snell. How did listening to these victims, there were 6,000 in all, but you listened to
about 100,
right?
About 100 or so, a little bit more than that. Yeah.
How did that affect you? Emotionally, and was it also one of the factors that made you persist through all these hurdles?
Oh my God, yes. Yeah, 100%. Because it was like, at that point, you're not doing it for you or for like, oh, I'm trying to impress my boss or whatever. It's just like, no, like, you know, partway through the book, I talk about, it was pretty gut wrenching. Yeah. Actually, you know what? No, I know it's not in the book. That's the kicker. Mm-hmm. It actually didn't make it into the book. It's going to be in. So side note real quick is that I am, very imminently finally launching a Substack, which has been long overdue. Where I will basically be telling more of the story along with analysis of what's going on now. The things that obviously you write a book, you've got like, it's going to the printer and I had to stop it like November 6th of last year. And it's like, I want to be able to write in greater depth about all the other stuff that's been happening and just keep on adding effectively more chapters to the book in a way. One of the things that ended up not making it into the book that I will share at one point here in the Substack is at partway through the case. So during this delay, we had this long delay where Schneiderman had really like put the kibosh on it, and we weren't moving forward anymore. And it was done. I was working on other stuff. Like I had this big case against a bunch of the big banks that was gobbling up a lot of my time. Like, we're talking kind of the winter of 2013. And the Trump case looked like it was dead. Like, we didn't think it was coming back. We thought it was
dead. And did you ever call any of those people back and say, listen, I don't.
I called them back. So they called me.
Right.
And I was, and it was heartbreaking because they're calling me up. So that's where I'm going with this. It's like, we're talking like the fall of 2012, the winter of 2013. And some of these folks were starting to call me up to follow up with me and being like, what's going on? I haven't heard from you guys. Are you guys still pursuing this? Like, please tell me you guys are still doing something about this. And no, I mean, it was like, it was gut wrenching to talk to these people because people would rant, they would scream, they would cry. They were mortified. They were embarrassed. They were hurt. These people had lost their life savings. One guy lost his home over it. They'd gotten into crippling credit card debt. Their dreams of being an entrepreneur were dashed. And these were Trump's super fans.
Right.
And these were people who wanted that entrepreneurial, being your own boss American dream. And they went to Trump University in earnest pursuit of that dream. And it was all a scam. And rather than come out of it with becoming a real estate investor and having their own business flipping houses, like they would watch on TV, they got $35,000 worth of credit card debt or more in some instances. So these people were, you know, and then they start calling me being like, what is up?
Right.
Why aren't you guys doing anything? And I can't say anything.
Right.
Because when you're working on a case like that, you're very limited in what you can share
right.
about the status of a case. You're duty bound as a member of the AG's office. You're not supposed to share what's going on with an active investigation. So literally the only thing that I could really say to them is, yes, it is still an active investigation, because that was still true. But I couldn't tell them anything else. And they were trying to get more out of me.
Right.
And they were like, do you need more? And they were trying. They were like, do you need more from me? I can tell you more. I can go see if I can find some more documents. I think I might know where my, you know, they actually gave these poor folks a diploma.
Oh God. It's so
to make
sad.
It look like they graduated.
Yeah.
It's so sad. And some of them went and found them for me.
Oh God.
And sent me a photo of it.
Oh,
I think one person actually mailed it to me.
Oh, it's so awful.
You know, they were like, oh, I can go dig around in my garage and go see if I can find some more stuff.
Ugh.
And it's just like, it's okay. I've got what I need. That's not the issue. We've got plenty of, we got everything. We're good. I just, unfortunately, there's not really anything else I can share about it at this time. And you're coming up with different ways to say that.
Right.
But like, yeah, I get like two or three voicemails from the same person. It's just I've got to call them back.
Right.
I can't just leave this person hanging.
When
you know,
yeah.
That was really hard.
I can't even imagine.
Because then you just feel like it's like, now I feel responsible
right, for these
folks
people
and trying
yeah.
to get them to a good outcome. Like, but that's why you're there, is to get money back
right.
for consumers, you know? And I had done it before in a different case that I worked on where we got a bunch of money back for actually small business owners who had been ripped off by a credit card machine leasing company. But by the way, it does tie into the Trump thing, because the AG's office in the subsequent case managed to shut down that company,
right.
which, as we know, is one of the remedies offered by the law that the AG's office is using in this big civil fraud
right.
case called Executive Law 6312. So, yes, the AG's office has used it to shut down. Trump has been running around being like, it's unprecedented. I'm like, I can't dial up my Trump impression today. It's unprecedented. I can't. It's just like, so, but it's not.
Yeah.
The AG's office does use that statutory provision to shut down repeat offenders. It does. And Goron originally had that in his judgment, and then he took it out. And I fear that the appellate court is never going to put it back in. And so that's not going to happen. It should happen. If it should happen to anybody on the planet, not the planet, because it's just the state of New York. But if that happens to anybody in this state, it should happen to him. And it's not going to happen to him. And that's a crying shame, because that provision of the law was drafted with somebody like Donald Trump in
mind. Right. Right.
And we're not actually going to use it for what it was intended for by the legislature. Right. And that is a travesty.
There's a lot that was, there's laws and amendments that were written with people like Trump in mind. But
I mean, 100%. And there's a lot more that we're going to have to write with him in mind to try to stop these things from happening again.
Hey, everyone, you know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And, you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh, God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome. When you got, now this was a big thing, and it's an exciting part of the book. When you got the transcriptions of the classes, actually were witnessing these classes. Like, what the fuck went on in these classes?
So, you know, I wish that we had... We published it. It's, you know, there's a bunch in there. If you go back to those files,
right.
we have a lot of quotes and they're good, but I wish that we had, actually I don't, cause it would have been more work for me at the time, but like, it would have been nice if we had actually just then like done a dump
right.
of here are all the transcripts so people could actually look at them and see just how slimy these instructors were, but they were coached to use high pressure sales tactics and what's called FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That's what you're trying to do to the people. You're trying to manipulate them into signing up for these courses.
Oh, wait, is
into
that?
Into upselling them.
FUD, that sounds really familiar. MAGA.
That is what they train these people to do. So what you're trying to do is to separate out the winners from the,
right.
They literally would say like, okay, you know what? Only winners get to sit up here by me. You know, if you're not going to sign up for one of these courses, so they'd have like a 3-day course.
Oh my God.
That would be for $1,500. And that they would sell people on that course by telling them you're going to learn everything you need to know about investing in real estate. Then you would come to that and it was a giant bait and switch.
Right.
You'd actually show up at that one. You've already paid your $1,500. And then they spend half of that thing upselling you on the other programs and the other half telling you why, if you start trying to invest in real estate coming out of that weekend, you're probably going to get your butt kicked. So by day two, they actually start telling, by day two or maybe the morning of day three, they actually go so far as to tell people, hey, if you're not going to buy those courses, you should just go home now.
Oh my, it's so humiliating.
You're a loser. Yeah. You're a loser. Get out of here. Get out of here. I only want winners sitting up here with me. So that you know, and what would they do to start every session? They would go into a bunch of phony numbers and scare tactics to convince all these folks that like they'd have some, you know, BS statistic about like 81% of seniors have to rely on family and charity to get by, like things like that. It's just like you're gonna die alone and broke. Right.
Wow.
And they were going after people specifically when they were targeting, like, who were they going to send this pitch to? They were going after folks that were, this was in the playbook. They were literally going after folks who were between, they were between 45 and 75, something like that, and making between $35,000 and $65,000 a year. So they were going after middle-aged, right, middle-class folks who were nervous about saving up enough for retirement and completely preying on their insecurities and their aspirations, right, to make more money and have a better and have some sort of better life for themselves. And a lot of people were working on it as a second career or as a side hustle or whatever. Like, there was a woman that I talked to a bunch in New York who was like, she was close to getting her pension as a public school teacher. And then she wanted to do this as a second career. She was going to get her pension, and then she was going to start flipping houses, right, inside as her next career because she really wanted to own her own business finally after 25 years as an elementary school teacher. But that's who we were talking about.
It's awful.
Here. It was truly awful.
Did any of his disgusting spawn teach any of the classes?
Oh God, no.
Oh, all right.
No, that would have been work. That would have been work for them. That would have been, you know, that would have been, no. Yeah, they would have had to show up and actually, you know, do something.
Right.
No, these were not even people that any of the Trumps had anything to do with. It's not like they had, like, you know, somebody from Trump land up there teaching these classes. The Trump people had zero to do with any of these poor schmucks who were the ones teaching the classes, all of whom were independent contractors, a bunch of whom got stiffed on their money that they were supposed to get paid. Right. When the thing shut down, a bunch of them were owed tens of thousands of dollars and they were never paid.
Well, he doesn't pay anyone for anything.
And they were motivational speakers and fast talking sales folks. That was who they hired for these roles.
So it was the Carnival Barker University. Yes.
Correct. And yet they were touting these people as Trump's handpicked instructors. Mm-hmm. And Trump himself said that in the introductory video that was shown to all incoming students, which you can go watch on YouTube. I'm one of the people who discovered, I think I am the person who really discovered that video.
Wow.
because I found it online. That was not, you know how you go search on Google and like you go through the first like 2-3 pages of results and you probably call it. I think I found this video on like page 34 search results. Like,
wow.
I had to dig all the way down and I found this video and it was like after an hour of searching, maybe longer. And at the time it had something like 62 views or something like that. It was really, really an obscure thing sitting there on YouTube. And then I put the URL for it in the court docs. And, you know, as a result, now everybody has seen this video and it's been excerpted on TV a whole bunch of times, et cetera, et cetera. But that lie, that was one of the biggest lies, was that these are all my handpicked people. These are my people. And it's like, no, they're not.
You don't even know them. Yeah.
He had nothing to do with picking them. And he finally had to admit that in a deposition. So he was caught in that lie, like fair and square. Like the notion that he was somehow going to win those cases if they had gone to trial. I mean, maybe he could have, because he could have pulled something. He could have gotten the judge to do something.
Delay.
And that's why you go ahead and settle if you get a good enough settlement.
Right.
Because there is an X factor with going to trial that you're just not going to be able to get rid of and turn it into a true slam dunk. People have asked me, it's like, why didn't you take it? Why didn't you take it to trial? Why did you settle for $25 million? And the answer is because we still could have lost. But I think the notion that on the merits, were we going to get him? Oh, yeah.
And you got,
oh yeah, we had plenty.
And they got their money back, these people.
And of the people who put in claims, they got more than 90% of their money back.
I mean, that must have felt like so, fucking amazing.
No, it was really great. And I left the office by then, so I didn't have the chance to talk to anybody at that point. I hope that all of those
Did
folks
you get
are
any
doing
thank
well.
You notes or anything like that?
I mean, there was no way for them to reach me at that point because I had left. I mean, because I left the office in 2014. So then, my colleagues were the ones who settled it. And then along with the folks who were running the parallel class action in San Diego, the private class action, they were the ones who settled it in 2016-17. And then people got their money back in 17 into 18.
Hey everyone, I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York, okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information and it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome. Why do you think he fucking gets away with this shit? Why the fuck did they lower his, like, how does this keep happening? And it's like, you really think, you go, this is it. This, how many times I have thought, okay, there is no fucking way he's going to get away with this. How does this fucking keep happening?
Yeah. So here's the thing is that I have been saying for a bit now that I felt like the appellate court would probably lower the award. I kind of felt like it, and the number I kept on saying to people over the last couple of months was that I felt like it, we needed to be ready for it to possibly come down to more around like $200 million. Sadly, that was probably about right. I didn't think they would do it for the bond, but the sad part, like, unfortunately, the appellate court has pretty much tipped its hand now about what it's going to do to this case on appeal. It's going to take out a lot of the provisions about Trump and his spawn, you know, doing stuff in New York. It's probably going to lower the award a whole bunch. I still feel good though that they're not going to just overturn it and say the facts did not support the outcome of a finding liability. There was no fraud here, or there's not enough here, or something else happened and thereby we're going to vacate the judgment and order a new trial, which is a thing that could happen. I don't think it will, but I hope I'm not wrong here. I think the more likely outcome is that we're going to end up with it gets upheld on appeal, but the award gets lowered a whole lot, because it is common to see awards get lowered on appeal, but it's not like they get wiped out. They don't get lowered by 90%. They get lowered by 20 to 50%. That does happen.
How do judges who have been through law school, who have worked their way up to a judgeship, Eileen Cannon, how do you look at this evidence, look at the history, and so blatantly disregard the facts because of your political leanings? How does this happen? If you are like, law is sort of dogmatic thinking. It's facts. It's like, yeah. Oh, yes.
Two things. One, politics.
Right. Oh yeah.
Two, it's split the baby syndrome. Sadly, the thing is that there is a certain mentality in judging that sadly just sort of view, I think they view their position as, both sides are being overzealous. We probably should pick some middle ground.
Right.
But that's not your job. Like, that's not correct.
Right.
Because sometimes the outcome is 100% for one side or 90% for one side.
Like, right.
You don't just pick the middle position every freaking time.
Right.
I think it's not, that's really lazy judging in my view. Is to say we're going to go ahead and split the baby.
You're not doing your job. It's beyond lazy.
You're not doing your job. You're not doing your job at that point. So, or it's akin to the whole, what's the quote about, you know, journalism, that like, it's not your, it's not your job to say, well, one side says it's raining and the other side says it's sunny.
Right.
You're supposed to go outside and tell us what the weather is. You actually need to like go figure out, like, one side is going to be right. And there's a chance that one side is 100% right and the other side is 100% wrong. And if you just sort of say, oh, I don't know, well, they could both be right, so why don't we just do right in the middle? It's like, I fear that that's what's going on here. And so these could be people who don't have like a, it's not like they're MAGA. Like, I know that, and I,
MAGA,
by the way, I know
FUD
everybody wants.
Is the same exact thing. MAGA and FUD.
Yeah. And then I look, and we look, and I don't know if like, is Cannon really like that? You know, like that much, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid, I don't know. Or is she simply another baby splitter?
Right.
And I do think that is it's taking a weak shortcut to judging as opposed to actually put your damn thinking cap on, go read everything and then try to figure out
who's right. No one does their due diligence.
You know, so I just worry a lot that the court is going to, that the appellate courts in New York are just going to split the baby. They're going to give the AG's office a half a loaf and that'll be it. Now, that's still a hell of a lot better than no loaf.
Right.
You know, so we'll see.
Okay. You write in your epilogue, the amount of time these cases have taken, Trump University, 2 years, 6 months, DOJ, January 6th, 2 years, 6 months. Fulton County, January 6th, 2 years, 6 months. DOJ records case, that one is beyond, 1 year, 4 months. Will this be over? Will anything happen before this election? And I don't think he's going to win. Sorry.
And by the way, that's the investigation.
Right.
So when I did the 2 years, 6 months, that is from inception to actually filing something. So inception to indictment or inception to lawsuit if it's a civil case. And I did that as a little tool to show people that like, I know that there's like, and I'm not trying to let Merrick Garland off the hook, but like, I know there's often a feeling of like, dear God, why hasn't this happened faster? But there's also just a length of time that these things take. It's kind of a balance of like, there's a length of time these things take. And by the way, if the thing that's holding it up is not legitimate, then that should be rooted out. Like, we need to root out the illegitimate reasons why these things take so damn long. But to answer your question, I do think that a couple of these trials are going to make it before before November. One of the best things that happened the last couple of weeks that we quickly forgot about and didn't even get that much attention, mainstream media pretty much didn't report on it, was DOJ in the Florida case saying to Cannon that the 60-day rule doesn't apply, DOJ's BS 60-day rule about candidates doesn't apply to somebody who's already been indicted.
Oh, right.
So it means that the Trump federal trials, as far as DOJ is concerned, they are not going to hit the stop button just because we get the 60 days before the election.
Right.
Now, there still could be all sorts of other things that go wrong, but that gave me a little bit more hope that we might see even the Florida case, maybe, or the DC case make it, and it will actually have commenced at some point in the summer, and it won't stop as we get into the fall. Fulton County, it isn't, contrary to everybody's belief, the reason why it hasn't moved faster is not because of what they did to smear Fannie Willis. It's because the case is big and complex and has a lot of defendants and every defendant can go file a motion. And then the judges even, now I don't really love how Judge McAfee is handling everything, but one of the first things he says, I don't know if there's a courtroom big enough in Atlanta to hold this thing. And it's like, go rent out the goddamn basketball arena if you have to. Find a space. It's not
do
that
your
hard.
Fucking job.
There's a lot of very big churches in Atlanta. Use one of them. Find something. You can find a spot that is not, you don't want to hold it outside in Atlanta in August. I get that. I've been there in August. U.S. Attorney's office, in fact, and you don't want to be there outside at that point. It's a lot, but there are places you can go. Figure it out. There's probably a Waffle House in Atlanta that's big enough to hold that trial. Go find something indoors with air conditioning and enough room for all the damn television cameras and hold the damn trial. But I think the New York case is happening this spring.
Good.
So, but we'll see.
I know.
We'll see. And I do think that we're going to get convictions. And I think that regardless of all of that, I think Donald Trump I think in a separate parallel, but slightly related path, I think Donald Trump is going to lose the election.
Yes, I do too.
I do.
Yay, Tristan. So, my favorite guest. Tristan, I could talk to you for fucking 5 days in a row. You're so, you're great. And you're so smart.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Everyone get this fucking book, Taking Down Trump. It'll make you feel better. It'll make you feel a little better.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to give people hope based in reality.
Yes.
So if people are freaking out about these cases, go read the book because it is possible to get to the finish line.
Yes.
You can beat him.
Yes.
You just need to keep pushing.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for speaking up. You're the best. Thank you for doing my podcast.
Anytime.
Keep fighting the big fight. The good fight.
I will.
All right.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of my interview with Tristan Snell. How fucking amazing is he? And can you believe the shit? Can you believe that he's gotten away with it? He's such a and people are gonna vote for him. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, I can't get too aggravated. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, I am gonna be in Los Angeles on April 29. That is next week. That is Monday at the Comedy Store for a fantastic comedy benefit for the National Council, the National Coalition Against Censorship, of which I'm a board member. And I am going to be, the following weekend, I'm going to be in Rochester, New York at the Carlson Comedy Club in Rochester, New York. So get your fucking asses there. 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. That's it. I don't know what else to tell you. New theme song, new everything coming soon. And I do this for you because, as I've mentioned multiple times, I don't make no money. But I love this. I love this. What do you call it? Genre? I love this genre. And I have so many real, I have good podcasts coming up. So not that I ever have bad podcasts, but you know. But that's it. I love you all, and I thank you all for listening. If you're still listening, you know, God bless you. Oh, I forgot to say, I'm always forgetting to do my credits. This podcast, Kill Me Now, I just dropped something. This podcast is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling, marketed by Brittany Jo Sowards Richmond, and yeah, I don't know why I keep forgetting to say that, but I don't know, I'm in another world. I haven't been sleeping that well. But I did lose weight, and I don't really have to use my CPAP machine. Isn't that fantastic? I'm not really snoring. So, I mean, the whole world's changing. But anyway, again, have a wonderful Passover. Follow me on Twitter. I mean, why do I say Twitter? It's X, and I don't hardly ever check it. On Instagram, on Threads, on Facecock. Everything is at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, except for Facecock, which is Judy Gold. JUDYGOLD. And yeah, I thank you all for listening. And if you're a Jew, eat a lot of fiber. And as we always say, so long.